All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, June 13th of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have the U.S. Open underway. Good luck to all of you playing golf this weekend. We have a four-game early MLB slate also underway, six-game main MLB slate later this evening, and then we have a NHL showdown for the Stanley Cup Finals. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, we're going to get the SaberSim app pulled up here, and we are going to jump right into questions. Looks like we have two questions here in the Discord to get us started. If anybody has any questions, now is a good time to get those in the queue here, and we'll get to all the questions before the end of the show. All right, so first question here in the Discord says, "Hey all, just started with SaberSim Ultimate this week. I love the contest flashback feature, but having a bit of trouble with interpretation. I have pretty diligently created my MLB MME lineup set sim ROI / risk adjusted ROI. Of course, the tool won't get everything right pre-contest, but I've been -2% to -5% ROI across the lineup sets. In the contest flashback, it seems like the only 150 sets that have positive that have positive sim ROI post contest are those that are heavily skewed to the same plus ROI stack. Example, having 50% exposure to Yankee stacks yesterday. Curious how you would interpret this if you take the post-contest sims as gospel." Okay, so let's just talk about like the post-contest sim a little bit here. So the post-contest sims, first and foremost, use our projections, use our simulations to generate the ROIs, right? So if you are aggregating projections or adjusting projections, well, when you do that, you will probably have a slightly lower sim ROI than if you just took our projections as your baseline. So that's the first thing, right? Just kind of something to be aware of in your review. Second thing here is one of the main differences. There's actually two main differences here between like the post-contest sim and the pre-contest sim. The first one is the size of the field, right? So let's say you're playing the main slate tonight. Well, maybe you are always playing the 50-cent minimax. Well, the 50-cent minimax has about 35,000 entries. If you go and look at, you know, our field lineups for our low stakes MME, and you go down to field lineups, you open this up, it's going to have 10,000 lineups. So we are effectively simming the contest as if there were only 10,000 entries. Okay, so that's the second thing. Third thing is that when we are doing the pre-contest sim, we are simming your lineups one at a time, right? We are taking one lineup, putting it into a contest with these other 10,000 lineups, playing that out, and then returning the metrics. Now, when you come into the post-contest sim, we are looking at your set of lineups on a user level. So we're looking at all of your lineups together and then providing you a ROI score there. So like those are the biggest differences. You know, the post-contest sim, in my opinion, is the most accurate because you're using the actual lineups and then we are using all of the lineups to provide you with that information, right? With those ROIs. So going back to the question here, you know, basically it seems like you're trying to figure out, hey, how do I increase my sim ROI from, you know, negative, you know, 2% to being positive, right? Well, first thing I would look at is, you know, how are players in the contest that you're playing grading out overall, right? So let's say that, you know, I'm playing the $3, 150 max, right? So I come in here, I open this up. And then I'm going to sort descending by sim ROI. So what's really, what I find really interesting here is that, you know, the payout structure for this contest is pretty flat, 10% to first here. And then you can see how the top sim ROIs are fairly low for, so like for the people maxing out this contest, you know, the top sim ROI is only about 10%. So there's been discussion that like, top heavier payout structures are actually better for sim ROI here. But you can just see that like there's not a ton of edge in this contest to start with, right? If you are negative 2%, even in this list of maxers, you're only, you know, 15 slots down. And there are, you know, a lot of people who maxed out this contest. I'd say, you know, closer to like 50 people, maybe even a little more, max out this contest. And if you are, you know, even if you're even, you're less than 15 spots down. So that just talks about, you know, maybe this isn't the best contest to play. And like, this is something that I've heard Matt and Jordan, I think Matt and Jordan were discussing in like our latest pro exclusive video, where you can use flashback to kind of determine, hey, what contest do I actually want to play? Right. So like, for instance, I would come in here and, you know, I'm trying to figure out, hey, should I play the, where was I looking for? I don't really want to use this contest. It's four max 250. What's a good contest? I'm trying to find something like not super flat, but like reasonable as far as like bankroll goes, right? So there aren't a lot of good options. These contests are getting like flatter and flatter, which I don't know if that's really a good thing here. But anyways, let's see. This 50 cent is 23% to first. Okay, so this is kind of interesting, right? We have a 50 cent, 150 max, 35,000 entries, 10% to first. And then we have a 50 cent, 150 max with 20. What the top sim ROIs are. So even in this one, I think because this contest is so small that you could see like there are only a very small percentage of 150 maxers grading out well here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 150 maxers above 0% sim ROI with a larger number, like at least like 15 players with negative sim ROI maxing out that contest. So, you know, it's hard to say, but if you're trying to get better, right, I think I got a little off track. So say I'm in this contest, right? And I'm trying to study it. I'm trying to figure out, hey, you know, how do I grade out better? Like one of the best things that you can always do is come in here and study the top lineups, right? Like, hey, why is this person grading out better than I am? And, you know, you can compare characteristics across the board. Like some of my favorite things to compare here is typically sim average score, average salary, stack types being used, team stacks, and exposures to batters versus exposure to pitchers, right? So when I come in here, because it's like kind of the way I like to do this is, you know, you build your lineups for the slate plays out. The next day, before you even look at that day's slate, come back to yesterday because you're going to remember a lot of the slate context here. You're going to remember, you know, who was chalk, who wasn't, which pitchers were grading out the best. Like that information is going to be fresh in your head. So come in here and spend time saying like, okay, hey, the players that are grading out the best sim ROI wise, you know, what did they do versus what did I do? And, you know, how are their characteristics of their lineup portfolios different than mine? And what you're doing is you're taking this kind of model, mimic, and master approach. You're studying the best players in the lobby, even study contests that you didn't play, right? Maybe you played the $3 150 max, but you do not play the $15 150 max. Well, hey, go in there and study the top maxers there as well, because those are going to be some of the best players in the DFS lobby, and there's plenty of things that you can learn by studying them. So that's what I would recommend here as far as, you know, actionable takeaways. Yeah, Willie said contests are awful today with a split slate. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you have this like 4-gamer and then like 6-gamer, and then that always brings down the prize pools for bowls. So probably, you know, why we're seeing some of the flat payout structures. All right. Let me know if there's any follow-up there, but answered it the best I could so far. Happy to retouch on it if needed. Next question. Can you touch on smaller slates like 2, 3, 4 gamers, and what's the ideal mini neeks you should be using? Okay. So there's, so mini neeks, there's two big things that affect it. The first thing is going to be the number of players in your player pool, right? So, you know, the smaller the slate, the less players there are on the slate, the less mini neeks you'll probably be able to get to in general. Second thing here is going to be your lineup to pool ratio. You know, if you are building 5,000 lineups, but you only need 40, maybe you're playing like 220 maxes, you know, that's going to be a big split, right? You're going to have plenty of lineups. But say that you're playing, you know, 500 lineups and you have 5,000. Well, you know, now your mini neeks, the available mini neeks you're going to be able to get to is going to be less because you're playing so many lineups, right? So the number of mini neeks is going to, that you can achieve is going to depend on those two things. Secondly, you know, there isn't like a right number of mini neeks. The right number, in my opinion, is when using the tool, adjust the exposures to values that make you comfortable. So some players, you know, are happy taking super big stands on a slate, being super leveraged, you know, going all in on one team. Well, like that person's probably going to want to just leave it at one. Some people want to spread out, diversify, you know, not have too many eggs in one basket. And a much bigger number is going to be the right number for that person. But what I always recommend is sort by exposures, start adjusting the mini neeks from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 and watch how your exposures and your leverages change as you do that. And then settle on a number that makes you comfortable. We're like, okay, you know, I'm pretty happy, you know, having X percentage of these top players and I'm good right here. Right. Cause like, I think there is a thing as spreading out, you know, spreading out too much. Like for some people want to, you know, have opinions on a slate. And when they are right about a player, they want to benefit from that outcome. You know, the more mini neeks you use, the flatter and flatter your leverages are going to become. And you're playing, you know, a little bit more safer ultimately here. But some people want to take stands. They think they have an edge. They, you know, found a piece of information that they think makes a player a good play. Well, then that person might want to use a lower number of mini neeks so they can have greater leverage on a slate. So regardless of the slate size, that is, I think, the right way to use it. But just so you know, a 4-game MLB slate, you're going to get to less mini neeks than you are on a 12-game MLB slate playing the same number of lineups. So that's just kind of the way that works. All right. Looks like we're all caught up with questions here in the Discord and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.